Hi, I'm Sean Walsh.
And I'm Hillary Walsh. Welcome to Let's Get Rich. This is a podcast for entrepreneurs who are growing law firms so that they can live rich lives and leave rich legacies.
In each episode, we'll provide action steps to help you get unstuck, beat distraction, and find freedom.
Let's get rich.
Let's get rich.
Welcome back, my friends, to another episode. In case you didn't know, we do something goofy before we push record every single time. And usually it's me picking songs from my, what is this playlist called?
It's probably 90s or early 2000s rap.
Yeah, it's called Hustlin'. And it is, Sean didn't actually know about, you didn't know that I listened to this pretty much every day on my way to work.
No, like, I didn't. Like, I didn't know it was your hype music.
It's my hype music. And so I have a whole bunch of songs that are my hype songs. And one day you were kind of having a, you had a bad day. And I was like, oh, bitch, I got you. So we put some music on and we danced the whole way. We're going to a conference. We're going to a Cardinal conference. And we danced our whole way in the car. So bad. Yeah, but it was so fun. That's but so now good. We do that before a podcast and then we jump in so that we have good vibes and we bring them to you. So welcome into our happy space. And we were just listening to Drop It Like It's Hot by Snoop Dogg and Pharrell Williams.
And most people don't know that I know most of the words to every Biggie Smalls song ever.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that you can't sing, because when we lived in Japan and I was the karaoke queen of the land and sang all at every single bar, I sang every Celine Dion song that every Japanese person would request and more. And that really sucks for you because you can't sing, but you can rap. It's so good.
I know all the words. I just can't carry a tune. All right. So
now you know.
We're on board line.
Speaking of which, this is our three tips for working with your spouse.
Yes.
Just
that's true.
The tips, all three of them.
Wait, one. So, yes, people have asked, oftentimes people ask, when they hear that we work together, they say, oh, they give us kind of that
look. Nice.
It's neat. How does that work?
And I'm like, I'm the boss, bitch. And yeah. Then we laugh awkwardly.
Awkwardly laugh.
And then Sean's like, silently having a tear roll down his face. No, not at all. Not at all. He's happy. We're happy. Happy, like, right, Frank?
So we're going to talk about how we work together. And it's not perfect. But so far, for the last 20 years, it has worked. Hillary and I have been together for over 20 years now.
More than half my life.
And
I remind him of that all the time.
Yeah, you do.
The three tips are, the three things we want to share with you are using your DISC profile. I've done all these different personality tests. Some people like the StrengthFinder, some people like Enneagram. I really like the DISC because maybe I'm just a very visual learner, whatever it is, but we use the DISC in our whole company. And then once we did that and I reviewed Sean's and he reviewed mine, and I had already told him, dude, mine is like way on point. I've never seen a profile like this so on point for me before. Then I was able to review his. So we were able to do that. So anyway, we'll go into that more.
That's the first. The second point is one of my favorite sayings, fire needs air. And that is, we get enough space from each other that when we're back together, it's awesome. We're happy to see each other. We work great together. But if we were to work in the same, like, literal office right next to each other as we are right now all the time, I suspect it would be a different dynamic.
For sure. And then, I mean, when we work from home,
yeah.
When we work from home, like, oh my gosh, you're just two on top of each other. Not in the, like, kind
cool
of way. And then the third is our business meetings.
Yes.
This was a game changer. And we learned some of these tips in marriage counseling. And then they've obviously helped us work together in the office as well. But I think, like, now that we know these, we have a Sunday business meeting, we'll kind of go more into depth on that. But let's start at the top. So the DISC profile, what I love about it, and just so everyone's fully transparent, we jot down for our podcast, we kind of jot down the general outline, and then we try not to be super scripty because that's not who we are. We want to be, you know, just normal people. But for me, what I love about the DISC is really being, when I learned the reason you give so much information about different things, the reason that you like spreadsheets, the reason that when you give me all the numbers and I'm just like, I will reply like too long, didn't read or whatever, whether I reply, if I reply at all, and if I even read far enough to realize it's too long, I didn't read. Once I realize that that's actually how you communicate, and these are things that are important to you because you like to analyze and you know, like, this is just who you are. it helped me appreciate things a lot more because I stopped. This is just being, I hope it's okay if I'm super honest.
I don't know what you're going to say, so I can't say yes or no.
It's that I felt like I was trying to teach you how to communicate with me. I was trying to teach you how to be when you started coming into my space. I was like, well, you don't need to send these long messages to people and you don't need to do that. And like, really, frankly, I think I was just being so critical, but that's because I didn't know myself. I didn't know that other people, again, like I feel ignorant and almost, I feel very embarrassed saying it out loud, but I didn't know, I didn't recognize and have the self-awareness to observe that other people like a lot of information, that other people like to see all of that data written out and they like the long message so it gives them more context and everything else. I want basic bullet points, but when I read my DISC profile, it was the first aha moment where I could actually really start liking myself. I think that it came with a lot of self-love to realize that, oh, this isn't a Hillary personality flaw. This is literally a personality type that exists in the world. And I happen to also have that personality type. And Sean has his personality type. That doesn't make him wrong. It just means that we communicate in different ways.
And once we knew this about each other, it was really helpful when I saw your profile, which is like full driver. If you're familiar with DISC, driver is one of the categories. And the driver is the doer. Let's move out on this.
Yeah.
And I don't need the numbers. I just need to know, are we going left or right? And then you start going. And
both feet on the gas pedal.
And when I realized that, it allowed me to communicate more effectively with you because I am more of an analyzer and I want the data. I want as much data as I possibly can to try and make the best decision and really weigh the pros and cons. You want me to give you the bottom line up front, which in the military, you know, we would always send emails, we would put what's called a bluff, bottom line up front, at the beginning of every email for the drivers in the world who didn't read the whole email. And so when I started kind of communicating that format, the bottom line up front is we're going left. And then you're like, cool, that's all I needed. And then we start going. We communicate a lot more effectively that way. And then sometimes we start going left and then you look back and go, hey, why are we going left? But once I knew that about you, and the way that you kind of operate in the work environment, it made a lot more sense in our, just in our lives in general. And now we use the DISC assessment for every single person in the firm. And not only that, but we have it in our profiles online. So when you're a team, so when you're talking to someone, when you're meeting with someone, you can see right below their name, where they fall in what category. And it allows you to try to communicate for receiving rather than communicating for your own, you know, how I like to project things is in numbers, but how you like to receive things is in action steps.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think then that also allows me to be a lot more, and I don't mean this in a patronizing sense, but just patient with Sean feels like these things are important for me to know. He's given me the bottom line up front. Like today when we sat down for lunch, you were like, hey, I want to go over these numbers with you. And the first thing I said was, is everything okay? Because we usually have a, you know, one-to-one that's scheduled and we go over numbers. It was a little out of the ordinary for you to bring your computer in and say, hey, I want to go over these numbers with you. So I thought, oh shit, something's wrong. But I wanted the bottom line up front so that I could immediately contextualize everything you were telling me. And it's easier to work with someone else when you like yourself and when you love and appreciate your own quirkiness and idiosyncrasies or whatever it may be, because then I can tell people, look, I'm a driver. And so when I come across as this way, or even when you tell me, oh, I see we're in full driver mode right now, or I can tell you, oh, we are deep in analyzer right now, or can you make this less analyzer for me? It makes it about the DISC in the personality trait instead of about the person. And I really appreciate that because then it's not making it personal in attacking or criticizing someone.
It allows you to understand people a little bit deeper level without having to like basically hash it out and fight it out. And so, you know, we've been together 20 years. We've kind of learned each other's style along the way, and still the DISC was eye-opening for both of us. Well, now
we don't sell the DISC or anything like that.
No,
right?
Yeah.
It's something that's cool for us.
Yeah, we're not selling it. It's not a plug. It's just, this will work for us.
But if you click the link below, it's $29.
But, you know, if you prefer Enneagram, any of those, they'll kind of lead you towards the same thing. So, you know, find the one you love and go with it. But it really has made a difference in the firm, in the company, to understand when you have over 100 people and you just don't get to know everybody as intimately as you would like to. So when you know what their profile is and where they fall, it's really fascinating. And then it also can help you inform hiring decisions or movement within the company. We're thinking of moving somebody laterally or vertically. And what is their DISC assessment? So it just really helps you in decision making in the business. But we're here to talk about tips for working with your spouse. So that was tip number one, was the assessment of personality type, so that you can really just try to understand the other person's style.
And I know that a lot of marriage counselors and just counselors in general will talk about the five love languages, but the five love languages have actually been widely
debunked.
And so when you think, oh, I'm going to communicate with my spouse and their love language, and I'm going to do that at work. Like, I think that's why it was always so frustrating when we were trying to use the love languages as our basis for communication, because you couldn't figure out what mine was, and I didn't want to have sex all the time. So sorry, that was your love language. But in any event, the DISC really helps with communication. It helps when you see someone in distress. It identifies, this is what they're going to behave like if they're in distress. This is what you do want to do with Hillary when you're communicating. This is what you don't want to do with Hillary when you're communicating. And the same for Sean and for all these other people. And so I think that the DISC is a way better metric or tool to use inside your marriage, but also definitely within your work relationship with your spouse.
The DISC actually gives you like 20 do's and 20 don'ts. And that might be the best part, is it says when communicating with Sean, don't, and then it lists like 20 things not to do. And then it lists 20 things that you should do. And so that is a great tool that you can print out and like pin on your wall for whoever you're working with all the time. And you know, our marriage counselor is fantastic. Early in our marriage days, I used to think that marriage counselors were for when you got big fights and things were going bad, and it meant we were failing. And I've come to learn that it's really not. It's more of like a coach situation. And if you play a sport, you do anything in life, you have a coach your entire life. Michael Jordan had a coach. Even when he was the best player in the whole world, he had multiple coaches. And so if you view it that way, you can get a lot of value out of it. And I've gotten a lot of value out of our relationship with our marriage counselor. And she's got a great podcast talking about the love languages and why they are
Yeah, I'll put it in the comments. What's it called? The chat, the box, the thing.
The show notes.
Thank you. So the second tip that we have found that has worked well for us working together is that fire needs air.
That's correct. So I don't remember where we first heard this expression, but I love it, and it's so true. And I think anyone listening, if you've been married for a while, You'll probably know this, that when you're away from your spouse because you're on a work trip or whatever the reason is, you're away for a bit. When you get back together, there's just this reconnection that is just, it's really great because you feel like you've missed them, right? They're your friends, they're your person. And so you get back together and it's awesome. Well, that is so true for a working relationship too. And not working literally in the same office, like right across from each other, can be really helpful. Our offices are on opposite ends of the building.
By design.
And it's a good walk. It is an intentional walk if you wanted to go and visit the other person. And we do throughout the day. But that space allows us to do our own thing and be our own people at other ends of the building. And that's helpful.
Yeah, I think that when we also don't have any real overlap in meetings that we have with our support staff. So like my team and the people who I'm meeting with may also have meetings with you. We rarely have any meetings where we're together, which keeps us from, I think, just getting sick and tired of each other. It keeps us from ever having to kind of like, I don't know, disagree with each other in a meeting, which could be very awkward, because then it's not necessarily like there would be a power struggle. It's just, it could get awkward for people to observe. Anytime you have disagreement among leadership, it's usually best to sort it out, but not in a group meeting. But I think definitely when you have the dynamic of spouses, and I think that when I'm having, just in general, when I'm having a rough time of it, I like to work from home so that I'm not around a whole bunch of people. And I love that you have an office that you can go to that's not at home, and vice versa. Or last week, I think it was that you ended up working from home for a day. I didn't know where you were, but I had stuck my head in your office a couple of times just to say hi because your light was on. And I was like, oh, I don't know where Sean is, but anyway, off we go. And you were responding to me on Teams when we were messaging back and forth about various things. But it's great to have space so that you are not sick and tired of each other. This is so true just in relationships in general. If you do everything together, you're never going to have any stories to tell each other about what your day was like, because you literally were codependent and sat right next to each other the whole time.
You mentioned a few things in there that I think are good to highlight. And one of them is clearly defined roles. And that is something that we both have within the company, is pretty clearly defined roles, who will do what. And throughout my Air Force career, 20 plus years in the military, there was always a big focus on leadership. And one of the main things that we used to talk about is there always needs to be one person in charge. And it doesn't always mean that one person is in charge of absolutely everything. But on any project, on any sub-project, there is one person in charge of any individual piece of it, so that everybody can go to that person. So you never leave a project with two people in charge, because who is the deciding factor? So having that one person in charge, and you have the things you work on, I have the things I work on. And we are almost never in the same meeting together unless it's a firm-wide meeting. And so having those clearly defined roles and knowing who owns which aspect is really helpful. And another leadership tenet that you mentioned in there is the disagreeing in private. And if we ever do have a disagreement, we take it offline, right? We don't say in the meeting, hey, let's take this offline. We just literally discuss it. And this is true of any leadership team. It's something you can bring to your leaders, is it's fine to disagree with the boss. You just don't do it in the meeting with everybody there. You have the discussion before the meeting. You, as the boss, you have to be open-minded to listen to the other person and everyone on your team. And at the end of the day, when you walk out of that meeting and go to the meeting with everyone else in it, you're in lockstep, even if you don't completely agree with each other. And that is something that's helped us, I think, that we do, is we have these discussions offline, just the two of us. And when we go in front of the team, we're in lockstep.
I think that our discussions for when we don't like something that's happened that day, and they usually come from me because I'm much more particular, is on our evening walks. Yep. We do like a little debrief, if you will, about kind of what the day was like and what we did, because we usually won't have seen each other all day. But on the rare occasion where something's come up, it's usually not that I'm just being particular. It's like, hey, this happened, I want to bring this to your attention. But we go on a walk every evening after dinner, because studies show that you should walk after dinner to decrease your glucose spike. This is something that I read not long ago. Is that why we go on walks every night? And I'm like, yes, I told you that. It's that, like, not fake science. But anyway, we go on a walk, and I think that's just a great way to process things. Anyway, it's just a great way for us to process things rather than ever in a meeting. But we really don't have any meetings together, like, ever.
No, that's true. Other than our business meeting.
Our third tip is business meetings. These are a game changer. And I talked about these on the socials before. And that's actually, we got a cheat sheet for you. So if you want our cheat sheet for our business meetings, I'm going to tell you about them. And then you can go get the cheat sheet and implement it in your working marriage. And you don't even have to do this if you work together. It's just a good one for your partner. Or if you don't have a partner and you have a house manager or something like that, a business meeting.
This meeting allows you to get in sync with each other. And the best time to do it for us has been before we start the week. So for us, it's Sunday morning over a cup of coffee. It's usually the best time when we begin with our calendar. We get our calendars in sync. We leave, hopefully, no stone unturned when it comes to what the week is going to look like. It sets expectations. It allows us to know what's going on in the family life. The kids have a lot of activities. We have a lot of activities. And so having that business meeting at the beginning of every week on a Sunday allows us to map our week. And we have other times where we'll talk about, long-term planning. What does next quarter look like? What does next year look like? But our business meeting is really about that week, and it's a weekly business meeting.
In the business meeting, we go over things, and I kind of want to add this as a bonus. I'm going to give you a fourth tip as a bonus, and it is to have clear designation of roles at home as well. This is something that we stood in the bedroom. I'm imagining, I'm like, just basically get out of my shit and let me do my job, is you saying that at home. And the much nicer words, but that's my takeaway. And then, at work, I need to, at the firm, I need to do my thing. So the rule of the roost for you is at home, and you manage all of our home staff. And then at the firm, like, this is kind of my rule of the roost, and like, this is my comfort zone, this is my space, where you help support me here, and at home I'm supposed to basically just stay out of your way. But on our Sunday business meetings, if we have a staff member who's going to be, you know, like our house manager slash daytime nanny, if she's going to be on PTO, who's covering her? If we're going to go out of town and need to have the dog taken to the kennel, we cross-reference, and I know that if we bring it up and it needs to be taken care of, I may bring it to your attention. Hey, who's going to take Taylor to the kennel? Who's going to have his food, et cetera? Nope, Meeks has got it. We're all taken care of. We're good to go. That way, like, I'm not just expecting Sean to do it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to make sure, because we're a team, that all of these things are accounted for, and just kind of going over it. But who's relieving, you know, if Victoria's off our afternoon nanny, if Victoria's off or needs to be relieved at a certain time, and actually we're going to have to go soon because she's going to have to relieve soon. We need to know who is responsible on X, Y, and Z date for relieving her if someone's going to be working late or something like that. And then we also have a chef, and I usually am who reviews I'm much more particular on food. So I'm who will usually on Sundays review our menu for the week and give her a thumbs up and let her know if we're going to be out of town or anything like that. So all of these things are super helpful, and that's just on your week. And sometimes we'll look into the next week as well, but we also will have a bigger business meeting, and that's to help us map our year. We usually do that in November.
We take the concept of, if you've ever seen the video, it's on TikTok, it's all over, of people filling a jar, and they start and they pour water in the jar, and they say, is this full? Yes. Then they add sand.
This was a Stephen Covey thing. This all started with Stephen Covey.
I did not know that. I've seen it done many places now. Yeah. But the takeaway is that if you start by filling your jar with water and sand, then you try to add the golf balls and then the tennis balls or whatever, you can't get anything else in. So you start filling your jar with the largest objects, right? And that is, we call it the big rocks. So we start our planning with the big rocks. Where are we going to take our next coolest vacation? We put our vacations on the calendar. Once those are on the calendar, then we put in, when's our business planning workshop going to be? When's our goal setting workshop going to be? And then, you know, we start putting in the smaller rocks next and all that. So
nights, comedy shows, yeah. When are we hanging out with friends and those sorts of things.
So, and that is all part of our planning. But these are our three tips for working with your spouse. I think we actually gave like seven tips, but that's okay.
We'll call it three.
We'll call it three. And so to recap, the number one is our DISC assessment, or whatever assessment you prefer to use to make more effective communication.
And then we have fire needs air, so you got to have some space. I think this is just so good in life for even with your kids. You know, I have so much more to talk about with my kids because I have space from my kids than if I just were with them 24/7.
And then the third one is our meetings, our business meeting, family business meeting. We invite our kids sometimes. We're talking about family things, but it is an important part of our ritual of how we are effective and how we communicate. And it has made our marriage and our business relationship amazing.
High five. Share with a friend if you also, you know, work with your spouse, or if you just really want to see some improvement in, we don't have a perfect marriage by any means, but I'm really proud of what we have. Really, really proud. We put the work in. And these are definitely three things that have helped us so much. So share with a friend, and we'll see you around. Check out the cheat sheet if you want to see what we do in our business meetings. Bye for now.